105.7 and AM 1340, WKGN Knoxville and W289CU Knoxville, Fan Run Radio.
WKGN 1340, Go Falls!
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Happy Friday. Fan Run Open Eve. I am Bear.
The Marshal.
Alongside Houston Kress. And Tucker Harlan.
Hey,
he thought about it, but he got it right. That's good.
Long and hard.
Yeah, I did. That's why I didn't say it quick. Unfortunately, folks, Russell still has Ebola.
He doesn't actually have Ebola. You're going to scare people.
He's got something bad. But Russ will not be with us this afternoon.
I love how you just eat and drink everything up that he says. You buy this? You buy it?
What do you? Yes, I buy it.
I don't know.
I'm closer to the situation than you are, okay?
I haven't seen any evidence, just some... I'm kidding, of course.
I've heard plenty.
It's bad. Don't like it.
Hashtag pray for Russell's family.
What? Are they sick too?
No.
Oh, then they're fine.
They've taken one for the team. I mean, they've got to live with sick Russell. Can't imagine.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I've never been around sick Russell. I can only imagine it would be worse than
normal Russell.
Normal Russell. I realize this is a sports show, but I do have a serious question. How do we think Russell is as a sick married father? Is he I'm in the room by myself, and does he have a little bell he rings? Like, oh, can someone get me a Gatorade?
No, I think he's just you don't open that door.
Okay.
I think you know.
You don't think he's bossing him around little bit?
No.
Like even a little. I could really use some chicken noodle soup and saltines.
He's not eating anything right now.
Well, that's a problem. He's got to barrel up and, you know, get some food in his gullet. What's his status for tomorrow? He's the Grand Marshal.
He's listed as questionable.
No, he's not the Grand Marshal.
You're the Ranger.
Okay.
He's the Master of Ceremonies.
He's not my boss tomorrow, though. It's a rust-free day for me.
Well, it might be a rust-free day for everybody if he's too ill to come.
I hope that doesn't happen. We've all been looking forward to this. So I think that's why I was like, man, just go ahead and stay home today, rest up.
You made the decision for him?
Well, yeah. Mm. When he's not here, I'm in charge.
Tucker, is this true?
Yes.
What are you doing? We're teammates tomorrow, and you're all okay.
He's just telling you. I mean, he's been with us. He knows what.
There is a standing show policy that if something ever happens to Russell,
I get the
Bear
drive.
Gets the drive.
The drive's mine. I get it in the will. I'm second in command, man. Listen, I've been taking up for him and taking his crap for 8 years now. So yeah, when he's not here, I'm
yeah, it's kind of weird. Like as much crap as he gives you, the guy can do no wrong in your eyes.
No.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
I
like
defer to him on
there. There's a syndrome about this. Like there has to be.
Like Stockholm?
Something similar, maybe not exactly, but I feel like, you know, I feel like he kind of kicks you down a little bit and you're always just like, yeah, but Russell.
He just wants me to be better.
Okay. If you're okay with that, I'm okay with that.
I'm loyal. That's why he keeps me around. He's told me that.
You are loyal.
to a fault. But anyhow,
like a healer.
Yeah, in all seriousness, so hope you get to feeling better. Get your rest, Russ. We want to see you at the course tomorrow, bright and early.
Yes, I'm told that Tucker Harlan took some swings on the range today in preparation for the Fan Run Open. By the way, there are like one or two spots left.
I think one or two, two at the most.
FanRunRadio.com/shop if you're interested in a par 3 18-hole extravaganza tomorrow for a good cause. Local charities, of course. Tucker, how was the driving range experience?
Did not starch?
No potatoes?
Yeah.
Sounds shook.
Just like that sentence, I did not start it strong.
But
we finished it well.
Finished well.
Finished
that's what
very,
matters.
Very well.
Yeah, like I'm a little worried. I was going to get there early. I thought early would be, 8 o'clock, but I don't know if that's going to – I may have to get there earlier than that tomorrow to make sure I have time to warm up.
See, it's tricky. Do you want to get there early enough to warm up?
What time do we have to be there by? Don't lie to me.
I mean, you're the marshal, so you need to be there as people check in to assert your dominance and make sure that everybody has – you got to count everybody's clubs. They can't have more than 14 in the bag.
Whoa,
paraphernalia, whoa. Contraband, you got to check all that.
What kind of paraphernalia? What kind of contraband?
You'll know it when you see it. Can't have somebody sneaking onto the golf course with a bazooka.
Oh.
Can't do that.
You can't do that.
That kind of paraphernalia.
Well, and others, I'll let you make that decision. You are, in fact, the marshal. But, I think you'd want to be there to eyeball everybody when they come to check in.
I'm just asking, what time do I have to show up?
I mean, I think a safe time would be 8.
Okay.
I'm probably going to try to get there around 7:30.
You bringing breakfast?
Yeah, it's included.
Hmm.
Yeah. He's already ordered it. He's got to pick it up in the morning.
Okay.
Breakfast boxes.
Okay.
With various,
A fresh fruit?
Granola? I think it's more along the lines of a biscuit sandwich.
Oh.
You don't like biscuits?
I'm trying to, slim down.
Well, then bring a granola and a fruit. I don't know what to tell you. You ain't paying for it, so that's good.
I'm the marshal.
John has secured the loot, as he calls it, on the Fan Run Discord. It's booze. A lot of booze that he was able to acquire from our good friends at Cherokee Distributing.
Yeah, because that's just what Reed, you guys, and the 37 Club need is.
Bear, I can obviously tell you're a non-golfer, but everybody knows that, if you start off slow, as Tucker mentioned, on the driving range, sometimes all you really need is a beer or two to calm the nerves, loosen you up.
There's some science to it.
Oh, it's scientifically proven.
The worst thing that you can have happen in golf is you overthink. You're in your own head. That's never good. You're going to be miserable off the tee. You don't have control over your wedges. You'll miss easy putts.
As long as you guys keep in mind, I will not lose control of the course. And there's an art to cutting people off. You guys will comport yourselves tomorrow, gentlemen. Not gonna embarrass me.
What? You don't even have a game plan for how you're running this event.
Not gonna be any drunken buffoonery.
I would say there will 100% be some drunken buffoonery tomorrow. I'm not saying it'll be me. I'm not saying it'll be Tucker or Sam or my wife. But somewhere, you will not be in the place where drunken buffoonery is happening. And that's why your game plan of how you manage the course.
Dude, what if it was your wife? How funny would that be?
I would laugh.
I'd find it enjoyable.
Everyone would laugh, and she would kill me later. It would be my fault somehow.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be, but it would be. That's early. It's an early time to start drinking. You never know. Sometimes it hits different in the morning.
It's going to be a lot of fun. What's our weather report right now?
It's really stayed stagnant, so that high is still 69. Nice. And the low is sitting at 53 for tomorrow. So I would imagine you're probably looking at, high 50s, low 60s to start the round?
I'd say mid to high 50s. It's taken a little while to kind of climb. I think by the time we're done, it'll still only probably be, 65? Warmest time of the day is 4 o'clock, 4:30 now.
Yeah.
So it'll be brisk. That's good. That wakes you up.
I'm okay with that.
So what are conditions like out of the course?
What do you mean?
Well, I need to wear galoshes?
I don't know. We did just have a storm pass over here. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we make a call to Williams Creek and say, hey, what's the – I actually forgot to check. Is it cart path only all the time? I feel like on most
part
threes
it
is. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I believe it is
so,
cart path only.
Marshall, this would be a good thing for you to write down.
What if I need to come to the fairway to make a ruling or a decision or proclamation?
Hopefully, most people, at least their best shot of the group, will end up on the green. So you shouldn't have to do that. I think we talked about this yesterday afterwards. So if I hit a hole in one, I have to call you and you have to come confirm it?
Yes.
What?
How? Are you? How can you confirm it if you weren't there?
Nobody's allowed to go to the hole. If you think it went in, if somebody thinks they shot a hole in one, you contact me and then I've come down and the marshal has to be the one to judge it and say yes.
You're telling me if I hit my first hole in one ever,
you cannot take the ball out of the cup until I...
Can I go to the green?
You can go to the green.
Houston will have three witnesses in this scenario.
You can look down into the cup.
Yeah, but
look
people
it up.
Could cheat, Tucker.
That is also true.
But yeah, you would have to wait till I got down there.
Okay.
Since I'm the official.
I think we're going to video all of our shots anyway.
Oh, gosh.
Don't worry about it, Tucker. We should have talked about this off the air. But yes, like it's going to be a thing where you never know who's filming, but somebody will be filming every shot because we need to have videos to share with the people after our championship round. It's nothing bad.
Yeah.
Like this is the thing. So like let's say I'm filming you just hypothetically and get a little slicey off the tee. You know what I'm going to do with that video? I'm going to delete it immediately.
All right.
Immediately. But if it's a good shot, we're going to send it into a big file and then somebody's going to put together a best of the Fan Run tournament.
Okay.
The Fan Run Open tournament video.
Will we be filming or will it be our caddy?
That's true. We could have Marcus film if he's still. I don't know. Apparently, Jake like
I'm
bought,
not
bought Marcus.
Anything.
You're the marshal. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Jake bought but did what now with Marcus?
Jake may have tried to steal Marcus as the commentator.
No.
Even though he's wanted to be our caddy for weeks now.
No, Marcus needs to be the caddy.
Marcus I received earlier today. They're trying to take my caddy job away from me, LOL. Defend my honor on the drive.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
No, we're not going
to
do that. But he's you're all's caddy. He's not. We don't need Marcus to commentate.
Well, I don't even know how he would commentate.
Yeah.
I mean,
we don't want anybody commentating.
Jake said there's going to be a microphone and he would be commentating. Like, I don't know if he'd be like Dottie at the Masters and just.
Oh yeah, it was a great,
shot by Tucker there.
Very tough conditions out here today. The winds really started to pick up. I don't know if these guys can make it or not. Oh, that's about the best he could do from there.
So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm feeling good. Moving on to what?
The news of the day.
Mm.
It's kind of a slower time of year. We do have, I think, some sparks and kind of. I don't know if you call it a firestorm, but a little bit of controversy.
Controversy. What is it?
Jonas Adu.
Mm-hmm.
Did apparently a televisit with the University of Kentucky and their new staff.
Kentucky?
Yeah, as in the Wildcats, as in the coal miners, TJ's favorite team.
As in Mark Poop.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? They got like one player, and that's a better – well – I don't know. Now that I think about it, they are
the same as Duke. Their class come or did they lose their class?
They lost their class. Their class wants to go play for Cal, the guy who recruited them. But so I guess what I'm getting at is that they're desperate, and so their NIL may have. Because wasn't that one of the things that TJ was bragging about? They got like an extra $6 million in NIL as soon as Cal was gone because some boosters got back in board and.
Yeah.
Okay. So they've got.
There's two ways of looking at it. I think
they've got a bag now, and they're gonna steal Adu.
It's not really stealing. I mean, Adu just took his ball and went home. I mean,
he's chasing money, and that's what they're gonna give him.
That's fine. The one thing I hate about it is, excuse me.
It's okay. I didn't hear anything.
Just a terrible. I like Adu. I wanted to finish his career here.
I did like him.
I still like him. He's,
if he goes to Kentucky, you'll still like him?
I don't know about that.
I mean, you gave Jamie up and down the road, and Phil, if Bruce goes to Kentucky, do you finally disavow?
No, if he goes to Kentucky, he's disavowed. That goes without saying.
Yeah, that's the one. I can't tolerate that. I just cannot believe. So, has he visited Baylor already? Has that already happened?
No, he's in Baylor this weekend.
He's scheduled to.
Okay, so that's...
So he's traveling to Waco today.
So he's talked to Baylor. Now he's talking with Kentucky. We heard North Carolina and heard maybe that didn't go well.
Yeah, it didn't sound like that went well at all.
Yeah, Carolina did not go well. No report on... I'm not sure if he's... North Carolina may have been the televisit, like the Zoom call. One of either Kentucky or North Carolina was a Zoom...
That's
meeting,
so weird.
And it didn't go well.
Those are both such short drives.
I don't think there's been any word on how it went with Kentucky.
Okay, do we think at
I
any...
I can see Pope... I understand why. I mean, it'd be a good get for Pope. He's second team all SEC. He's a rim protector.
I mean, hypothetically, it's possible that like he tries to... I don't want to say what I was about to say. He tries to get the best deal for himself. And it's possible... Is it possible it's going to be lower everywhere he tries to go than it was here? And he's at some point thinking, oh, damn, why did I leave Tennessee?
I think that's what Barnes was getting at.
Yeah, he's kind of hinting at that. I agree.
Especially, I think that was more primarily...
For Tobe,
yeah.
And that's a weird one, too. You know, once Adu entered, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, Tobe will be back. Well, what are we waiting on? If you're coming back, come back. And I think that's one of the things Barnes was getting at yesterday. Hey, yeah. We're not going to be waiting on people. We'd love to have you back, but if you can't make a decision... You know, we're moving on.
Yeah. But we will definitely be we've got Ryan Shumpert.
Oh.
Kind of buried lead. Shump is coming on with us here in just about 3 minutes to talk about that. The baseball series that starts tonight in Kentucky.
He is in Lexington for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, he's not playing tomorrow.
No, he's not.
I thought he was on the RTI team.
Rick asked him to be a fourth, but he had to cover. Turn it down.
He had to cover the team.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to him next right here on The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. We are pleased to be joined now by Ryan Shumpert of Rocky Top Insider as he makes his way to the frozen tundra of Lexington, Kentucky. Ryan, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. It just like you said, making the trek up 75 to the always cold, the always gray Lexington, Kentucky.
I mean, I'm told they get sun up there from time to time. I've never been there and seen it.
This will be somewhere around like my 10th or 11th trip, and I think I've seen the sun once or twice, and it was both January basketball games when it was like 20 degrees outside.
Right.
So it was still incredibly unpleasant.
Yeah, so there's the sun. It's a nice tease. By the way, you're miserably cold. And yeah, it's perfect. That's Lexington, Kentucky in a nutshell. Ryan, we know you're going up there to cover the baseball game. We'll get to that in a minute. Wanted to talk a little basketball transfer portal to start. I guess the best way to ask this is, what on earth do you make of Jonas Adu and Toby Awaka maintaining their position in the portal, and how do you think this all shakes out?
Yeah, I don't think that Jonas maintaining his position is any sort of surprise. I mean, even when he entered, it felt like he was definitely going to be as good as gone. And Toby, especially when, I guess it was a day, maybe 2 days later after he entered, that Jonas entered, it felt like, all right, it feels like there's a real chance that he could come back, but, I mean, it feels like that one kind of moves with the wind at this point. Some days it sounds like Tennessee's optimistic. Some days they're less optimistic, and you kind of get the vibe that the longer this one goes on, the less likely it is that Tobe would come back, or maybe not necessarily that. But if it was a slam dunk that, you know, Jonas leaving meant that Tobe was going to come back, we'd know by now. So it feels like he's going to go through all the full transfer portal recruiting process, and I think it at the end of that, if you know Tennessee hasn't landed a big man in the portal by that point, I think there's a chance that he could come back, and Tennessee will keep open lines of communication with him. But it feels like Tennessee's one of a number of options for him right now, and not just some definitive, slam dunk. That now that Jonas is gone and a lot of minutes have been opened up, that Tobey is going to be back at Tennessee.
Ryan, I don't know if you were at the availability yesterday. Were you?
I was, yeah.
Okay, so Rick Barnes was asked if he was surprised when the news broke of Adu entering the portal, and he said very succinctly, yeah, because he told us he was good. This feels weird to me because it feels like Rick Barnes and his players throughout his tenure at Tennessee have had good relationships, open communication. I mean, it sounds like he was caught very much off guard here, and I was wondering if you had any insight on that.
You're right. I mean, I can't remember Rick publicly, not that he necessarily ripped Jonas, but I can't remember him not saying nice things about any player in his transfer,
right.
At least publicly. He's always said the right things, always supportive. Back before the transfer portal, he was always willing to help a player get that immediate eligibility and whatever needed to be done to help the player out. So this was definitely a different way about it. And, I mean, I've heard some things, nothing that I feel confident enough about to say on the radio. So I'm not 100% sure what happened there, but obviously it feels like about as bad as a breakup as Tennessee has had with any player that's entered the portal.
Yeah, it's funny, Ryan. We had Justin Gainey on the show yesterday, and we asked him, as you look forward to next year, you know, what's one thing for your team or a couple things as you identify how you can kind of take even the next step past the Elite Eight? And he very quickly said, oh, we need a back-to-the-basket post scorer. And I thought, oh, that feels like a shot. And then at another point he said, oh, yeah, J.P. Estrella was our best post scorer last year.
During summer, in practice.
Yeah. And, you know, even when he got into games, and it's just like, it feels like, and I don't blame him, but it feels like the staff was definitely caught off guard and definitely is currently a little frustrated, perhaps, with the Jonas move.
Yeah, and I think with Jonas, like, he wasn't much of a back-to-the-back scorer. He didn't have, obviously, he was pretty good if he could turn right shoulder and finish without kind of left-handed baby hook, but he wasn't super strong to where he could back somebody down and get into comfortable range. And I do know the staff, you know, is super, super high on J.P. Estrella, and he is very much a talented low post scorer, has good touch, probably has, you know, I think Tobey has good touch too, but probably has more moves and a little bit extra gear to his offensive game. And, you know, I think as Tennessee starts to build this roster, obviously what they do in the portal is going to be extremely, extremely important. But I think two guys that are as, you know, when you talk about how much better they can get, are about as important to this team as anybody else is J.P. Estrella and Cam Carr, because those are two guys that are really, really talented. I think no matter what happens from this point out, J.P. Estrella is going to have to play a lot of minutes for Tennessee. And even if Tennessee goes out and lands a handful of good guards and wings, I think Cam Carr is very much going to be a part of their plans next season.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask, you've covered a lot more practices than I have. I have been told to buy stock, if you can, on Cam Carr. Is that the feeling you're getting from the program? Like, this guy's got a chance to be a pretty good player here?
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, you always have that question of how good can a guy be in their first year where they're getting major minutes, which is what next year will be for him. But I think in the long term, he's going to be a really, really good player. I mean, you talk about, I think, one of the most important traits for a player that is for a scorer, a guard scorer, is just to have confidence in the play with unwavering confidence. And Cam Carr, 100%. I mean, Cam Carr sees nothing but green lights, and he plays with a ton of confidence. He's a good shooter, and he also has the athleticism and kind of the wingspan to be able to get downhill and be a good scorer getting to the basket, too. So I think the sky's the limit for him as an offensive player, and it'll be really interesting to see what he can do just specifically next year as he's really, for the first time, working into a big college or a big role on a college basketball team.
Ryan, the one name we kept hearing hinting around with the portal very quickly stopped getting mentioned, Jamai Meshack, and he seems to be fully in the fold as far as the team goes. What do you think the plan for him is next year? Are they going to continue to try him at the four?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, I think that's an option they have and something that they might go to some. Like, I'm sure we'll see Jamai play the four some next season, but I don't think you're going to see a ton, because I think what he does best is his ability to defend guards, and I think they want to play him in that role more, which obviously if you play him at the four, you're not able to do that. You're leaning more on his versatility, which is obviously a big part of his game, but I think they want to lean more on his just elite defensive ability, and I think for Jamai, it's all about becoming a better offensive player, but more than just that, I think it's about what we just talked about with Cam Carr. I think he needs more confidence in his offensive game. I mean, he's a guy that shot like 37% from three-point range last year, but it never felt like he had a ton of confidence in that shot. And I believe it was the Purdue game. Maybe it was the Creighton game. One of those games, the other team, Creighton or Purdue, whoever it was, they just left him. They said, we'll let you shoot wide-open threes. And I think he missed a couple, and his confidence was pretty quickly shaken. So how much confidence can he have? How much better can that shot get? And just how much of a, maybe not a score you have to rely on, but a score that opponents have to account for and fear a little bit, to me, is going to be the big question for him. And really, I think a big question for how good this Tennessee team could be next year. Because if he becomes a guy that can just consistently give Tennessee 8 to 10 points a night, you add that on to what he does defensively, and I think that really, really raises the ceiling for next year's team.
Ryan, for point guard next year, and just because I didn't see very much of him, I'm just curious, do they think Cam Carr can play some backup point guard? Is that going to be a Boswell role, maybe some Mayshak mixed in? I realize that Kai Ziegler is kind of the engine of this team, but I think we all would agree, like, him playing 39 or 40 minutes a night probably isn't the best for Tennessee.
No, I mean, I think that's the – I'd almost compare that in some ways to Tennessee trying to find a backup point guard. Like, you don't want Zakai playing 39 minutes a game, but I don't see a world where he's playing, you know, less than 33 minutes most nights.
Sure.
And it's hard to go out and get a guy that's, you know, comfortable to come in and play 7 minutes a game. So I don't – Cam Carr's not that guy. He's not a point guard. I think, you know, ideally – Bishop Boswell becomes a guy that could do that. I don't feel confident in saying that that's, you know, he's definitively going to be that. So I think it's, you know, maybe Mayshak some, Gainey some. We'll see who else they get at in the portal. I mean, I think they would look to maybe find someone that played some point guard at a smaller level that's more kind of what Zakai was his freshman year, a scorer that just played point guard because of his size. If they find a guy like that who will play a lot of two for them, and maybe also be able to slide over and play some point guard in those 5 to 8 minutes tonight that Zakai's not on the court.
Fair enough. All right, we've already got Darling Stone Dubar in the fold. We've got some other names floating out there. Igor Milicic, Chaz Lanier, who is not in the portal because he's a grad transfer and doesn't technically have to enter. Do you think the staff feels good about where they will end up at the end of this transfer portal period?
I think they do. I do think there's a good bit of confidence with where they're at, and certainly, you know, Rick said it yesterday, they want to put things together as quick as possible, but I don't think they're also in any rush either. I think you've seen that. They're being pretty meticulous about the guys that they're pursuing, the guys that they want to take, the guys they bring in for visits. And to me, that when you have, what is, or at this point, 5 scholarship spots open, I think, to me, that shows a lot of confidence and where they feel like they're at, and they feel like the guys that they can get. And you know, it continues. It feels like every week, and not just from a Tennessee standpoint, but from a national standpoint, the news out there is there's going to be more big names in the portal. There's going to be more guys enter. And I think as that happens, Tennessee remains to be patient and confident that they can land some high-level guys and fit the puzzle pieces together and put together a team that's going to be in the top you know, 4 of the SEC again next year and competitive and able to make a deep run in March.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we came on air, just how particular Barnes and company seem to be about who they bring in.
Stylistically, that's probably one of the most important things to them, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to fit the culture.
Yeah, they're not going to waste the kids' time or their time. So I feel like no big surprise that we're going – slowly. I'm not panicking.
No, not at all.
No, and I was talking to somebody last week and was asking kind of like, you know, does that become harder to do when you got 5 spots open? I mean, you just got to at some point get some bodies in. And they
right.
I don't know if they quite scoffed at me, but they're like, no, that doesn't change anything. It'll be the same approach. You're not panicking. You know, we're not reaching on guys. We'll go about things the exact same way. And that culture, that fit into our program is still priority number one and just a must when you're looking for guys.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be short on options.
No, because
was it yesterday or today? Barnes said our phone is ringing off the hook. Are plenty of dudes who want to come play here.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this, Ryan, but somebody did bring up, it was on X earlier today, that the big from Alabama. There were two of the biggest
Pringle.
Yeah, there are two of the maybe Nelson. Two of the biggest signings last year, the portal, happened at the end of May and in June.
Yeah,
and we're nowhere near that yet. So. But shifting gears, you're on your way to Lexington. Expectations? Do you think Tennessee can Houston and Tucker are pretty bullish on this weekend.
Well, I was listening to the morning show, and I heard a rumor about Shump's predictions for this weekend. I want to see if he's locked into that, or if maybe, just maybe, this drive up 75 has made him change his opinion. Where are we standing on this weekend series here, Shump?
No, I did pick Kentucky to take 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
You know, I lean that way. To me, it feels pretty close to a toss-up. And, look, I think Tennessee's a little bit better team. But you also, I feel like every week someone asks me, is Kentucky, are they real? Are they legit? I don't know how good Kentucky is, but you don't get to 14-1 by accident.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're just barely grazing past people. I mean, most of their wins have been in pretty convincing fashion. So I think Kentucky's a really good team. I think the fact that this series is on the road in a pitcher-friendly ballpark on a weekend, it's supposed to be pretty cold and play to pitcher's advantages. I think all that stuff plays to Kentucky's advantage this weekend. So, again, I think it's just about a toss-up of a series. I honestly think all three games are going to be really competitive this weekend. But just with all those things in mind, I give Kentucky the slight edge that I would pick them to take 2 out of 3.
Man, it is like the opposite styles coming into this matchup of what is now a top three or a top four matchup, if depending on which ranking site you look. But you've got Kentucky, who likes to pitch around. They like to play a little small ball on offense. And then you've got Tennessee, who pitching's been a little bit of a question mark, and we just want to mash the ball as far as
Murder
we possibly
ball.
Can. Yeah.
It's so wild, just like how drastically different. I think it's 51 home runs for Kentucky on the season, 101 for Tennessee. And I don't know the stolen base numbers exactly, but it's something like 76 for Kentucky and 22 for Tennessee. So it's complete opposites. And I think the thing that I'll be most interested to watch is, you know, Tennessee's defense has been really good this year. I think that's kind of a sneaky strong part of this team, or sneaky improvement, because obviously Tennessee had a lot of defensive issues. It's the first 2 months of the season last year. They figured it out for the most part. And this series is going to be tested in a big way. So I'll be curious to see in a series where the margins are a little bit smaller and that defense is going to be tested consistently, just how good Tennessee can be on that side, because that's an area that I've been impressed with so far this season.
Ryan, final question, and we'll get you out of here. We know that Frank Anderson and Tony Vitello, they really don't want their pitchers to focus on the auxiliary stuff, right? They want to focus on the plate, on throwing strikes, on not walking people. Do you think we see maybe a little bit of a, I don't want to say a change, but a shift in that philosophy this weekend, given the fact that Kentucky does like to steal? They do like to drop those random bunts in there. Like, do we think we see a little bit more of that from the pitching staff, or do you think it's, you know, all fires towards home plate?
It's a great question, and I lean towards saying no, because I've never seen the change much. Now, I think it's what I wonder, maybe where I would say you need to is, you know, it's one thing to do that and to have all focus on the batter like it was in 22 when you got Chase Burns and Chase Dolander and Drew Beam rolling for most of that season and the offense is putting up 8 runs a game. It's like, who cares? It's a little bit different when the pitching's a little shaky and the margins are a little bit smaller. So I'll be curious to see. My natural instinct says no. I think the one area maybe you do see that is just some emphasis on pickoff attempts and pickoff moves. I mean, that's been a big thing for a handful of Tennessee's pitchers this year. So maybe in that regard, but it's a little bit of see it to believe it, because Frank's emphasis is always going to be on the guy at the plate and just being in attack and compete mode. And I think the outside concentration and focus on base runners is kind of works in contrast to a lot of Tennessee's pitching staff's identity and what they want to be about.
Ryan Shumpert, Rocky Top Insider, man, really appreciate the time today. Safe travels, and maybe a jacket or a parka or something, because it is Lexington. You just never know.
Exactly. I got a couple windbreakers up here, so appreciate you guys having me on. Enjoyed it as always.
Attaboy. Thanks, Shump. Appreciate it. Ryan Shumpert,
Rocky Top.
I'm gonna steal it. Making his presence felt. Good for him. Getting up on a Friday, traveling to the. You ever been to Lexington, Tucker?
This fall I went for the first time. It was cloudy.
You don't say.
And then it rained the Sunday I left.
It's just not a fun place to go. Well, people say Lexington's awesome. I've never really had a good
experience
there.
Looking at the town, everything's close together, and it would be really, really cool if the sun decided to shine every now and again.
Yeah, you're just not going to get that.
That's the issue.
Do a quick break. We'll take it now. The Drive on Fan Run Radio returns after this.
The Drive.
Welcome back into The Drive. A freaky Friday. No Russ. We get to play the bumpers we want to play when Russ isn't here.
I'm all for it. Ryan Shumpert, Rocky Top Insider. Bear, what did you learn?
That I should have asked the question you asked when you said, great question. Because that's the thing that I've been sitting here watching this series.
Do we adjust, right? Like, do we change what we do?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the one area, like, I was thinking the same thing. We don't have guys that are just absolutely, you know, bringing the thunder and the lightning from the mound right now. I mean, we say that, but we're one of the top pitching staffs in the SEC.
I know, which is – it doesn't feel like it. I guess we just have been spoiled.
Yeah,
for
you're just so accustomed to having three guys you can depend on night in and night out every weekend.
The one that worries me the most – and this is going to sound crazy – I think it's Beam, because he pitches to contact and he gives up a few hits. And if those singles turn into stolen bases,
because Beam, I put Beam in that same class of like Dolander and Burns, and
I don't think he lasted two innings last year against Kentucky, because I remember he pitched in that Sunday game where there was the delay, and then they ended up losing like 10-0 in nine innings.
Yeah, because his arm got cold and they couldn't warm him back up.
It wasn't just that they put Russell in before the delay. Like, he didn't even get there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That was a really bad weekend for us last year.
Well, Tennessee won 2 of 3.
Yeah, but Sunday wasn't fun.
Sunday was not fun, though. I agree.
Not fun on the 10-0. I was looking at some of the game notes. Stamos tonight. Probably quickly to cause.
Yeah, I wonder if they've got him on a pitch count or – if it's just a feel thing for the game, like,
yeah,
I wonder what triggers that decision.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't think it may necessarily be a pitch count. Like, if he's out there and he's doing his work, like, just leave him as long as
Well, it was like that with Sechrist in the early portions of the season. Then once you figured out he could go for 100 pitches in that Georgia series, you're like, okay, we'll just ride with this guy as long as we can.
When do you think we see Snead? It just depends on the situation.
I would imagine A.J. Causey will probably get – preferential treatment just because Friday was his night to start season.
I'm just saying, just outside of our three starters, we got our three starters and we got Causey.
You could see him Saturday very well.
Yeah, that's true. Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
I think it all depends on what happens tonight. If we win tonight, we got a chance to win the series tomorrow.
I wonder
night.
If we do see a marathon man Kirby Cannell appearance this weekend.
He looks better this year.
He does.
It's just,
he's also lost. Have you noticed how much better shape he's in this
year? He's in a lot better shape, what did he throw the other night, Tuck? I mean, did he get over 100 pitches?
That was the Georgia series where he got to 94.
94, okay. But, yeah, like I would have never
– I would have never thought –
this is a guy that at times last year he came in to throw three pitches.
Very situational.
Yeah, and now the fact that they feel confident enough to leave him out there, like that to me, that's a big jump. Not necessarily because he's, an all-American pitcher and he's so good, but in the right matchup, nobody is scouting
him. Bringing him in and what he does throw, kind of a junk ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely a junk baller. And it's awesome because people are waiting on, you know, 96, 97, 100-mile-an-hour heat from some of these other guys, and then you bring him in, and it's like big change of pace.
Yeah, you're seeing stuff in the 70s. And
I love the way they tried to pop him on one of these, but, like, he slides his foot from the left side of the rubber. Depending on if he's facing a righty or a lefty, he'll be on the opposite side of the rubber. I mean, he's just – he knows how to use what he has.
He's crafty. He's a veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran. What is he, like a 6-year? Is this a 6-year?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
He's older than you, right?
Yeah, he's older than me.
That feels like a guy who could end up, like, on the staff at some point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, down the road.
Yeah.
Tonight, Tennessee will be facing Trey Pooser. Pooser?
What are we coming out in tonight? Uniform.
No, you know what it'll be.
Is it grays?
Yeah, probably.
We do usually do wear the
grays
on Friday
night.
Friday
night? Yeah,
it's usually
Friday night. Stamos, ERA of 3.45 tonight for Kentucky. Pooser? 4.11 ERA. We actually have the ERA advantage in every matchup. Drew Beam for Saturday, 3.16 ERA versus left-hander Dominic Nyman? 3.4 ERA. And then Xander Seacrest for Sunday, 3.34 ERA for Seacrest against right-hander Mason Moore, who is 7-0 this year for the Wildcats with an ERA of 3.45.
I think I remember him from last year.
Going to be honest, I don't remember anything about Kentucky.
This is going to be their staff's stiffest test. I mean, we're the number one offense in the nation?
Our home run numbers. Yeah, we like leapfrog Georgia bad.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 days.
The run rules at Auburn helped out a lot.
Yeah, but it also stole innings from us. Could have used that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could have had a couple more.
Where's Condon at right now?
That's a runaway. That is.
Well, he and Jackie Kags are both in a competition with one another. He hit another one last night. And
so they're
lost
way
to
ahead of Burke and Simo on the year.
I guess you could define way ahead. I'm trying to see here. Condon has hit 24 to this point. Caglianone for Florida has hit 22. Tennessee Christian Moore has hit 15. So he's 9 behind Condon, 7 behind Jack Caglianone. And then this Braden Montgomery guy for A&M has 20. That's pretty good.
A&M's got a good team.
And then I've heard this name said, and I don't know. A&M also has another guy in the top six, Jace
Laviolette.
I went to
actually, it was the Preds coach's daughter, Laviolette, that was in high school with me. Peter Laviolette was the coach's name at the time.
They were related?
Relation?
I have no idea. Not very many Laviolettes you run across, though.
I was going to say, yeah, not in Tennessee. Huh. Anyway. I'm excited tonight to watch a little bit of baseball. What's first pitch is what? You say 7:30? 6:30. Okay, good. I much prefer
might
that.
Have time to get home.
Depends on traffic, right?
Yeah, I don't even attempt the interstate on Friday.
I noticed that the other day. You went
go the back
a
way.
Secret route.
Yeah.
Does it work?
I mean, it's 6 of one, half a dozen of another.
But at least you're not in standstill traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just takes longer.
That checks out. So Shump has Kentucky winning 2 out of 3.
I got us going 2 out of 3.
Duck, you got a prediction?
I don't think there's a sweep either way. I'll go Tennessee 2 out of 3.
I don't know. I think we might have found something with the pitching staff. I really do. I like the Stamos to Causey move. That seems to kind of help Causey stay settled down. Stamos, I think they'll let him ride as long as he can. I think if Tennessee wins tonight, I'm taking the sweep. The sweep. If they lose, obviously no one can sweep except Kentucky.
So it's going to be cloudy. They're not calling for rain. It's just going to be cloudy tonight, 62 up there. Sunny tomorrow, 61.
Okay.
And Sunday it's going to be cool.
But no rain on Sunday either?
No, just cloudy.
That I think is what gets – I don't know. Under Frank, it feels like the pitchers are so routine-driven and based that when there is a delay, it feels like we've never really performed well out of a delay. I don't have, like, numbers on that, but it just doesn't feel that we have. So I like the fact that maybe you're going to get, a dry, game starting on time type of weekend. I think that gives us a pretty good chance. But, yeah, if Tennessee wins tonight, go ahead and mark me down for the sweep. I think, I mean, do you guys agree? Like, is Friday night, like, the scariest night for you as we progress through the season? Is Friday night the one where you're like, let's see what happens? And then,
yeah. I don't know what we're getting night in and night out with pitching at, because Stamos, that was a one-time experiment. And, again, you could tell with that LSU team last week that there just was not the same pop.
Right.
That it had a season ago.
No, it was a lovely sweep. I enjoyed every minute of it. But, yeah, they're not quite what they were last year. I did see that Paul Skeens in the minors is cruising.
That he is. He's doing well in AAA. And, interestingly enough, I was watching that Vandy Florida broadcast last night. There is a rule in AAA where you can challenge pitch calls.
Like balls and strikes?
Yes.
Really?
And Skeens has done it, and he's apparently done so successfully.
You need to get him up against Angel Hernandez. Hmm. They'll never be able to fire that guy.
Why? He's so bad.
Because of the union. Union. Like, they cannot fire him. They're waiting on him to retire. And he knows it. It went last weekend, there was like a three-minute video. There were four straight pitches.
I saw that. And the guy's just taking them, and they're all outside the box. And he called every single one of them.
What are you
strike.
Supposed to do at that point?
I don't know. Like, bash him in the head with your stick?
Yeah.
Because he's always been bad.
I'm really surprised that a pitcher hadn't clanged one off his
I've seen a video of a softball team that did that. Where, yeah. Like, the catcher went low, and she threw the ball high, and it hit the dude right in the face, and they're just like, oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if maybe it's like, hey, keep the glove down, but I'm coming right over your head, and I'm going to hit this dude in the chest.
Either that or right in the clang.
I'd love to see it. I can't stand that
He's
guy.
He's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, just terrible.
It's bad.
All right, well, that wrap up hour number one of our show. On the other side, we'll have Tucker Harlan in with the top four at four.
Yeah. You got it? You ready?
I do.
Okay,
I do indeed. Don't worry.
If we need to stall, we can. I don't know.
No need to stall.
All right.
Well, we will be right back after these messages. You are listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.